Look who's here. It's Esmeralda Leon.
They can't look. Well, they can actually, can,
yeah, they
right?
can. There's a camera right there.
There you go. Never
thing,
mind.
Right there, thing. Hi.
Hi.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
I miss you.
Oh.
I do.
Me too.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you?
All right. How you been?
Good.
Busy?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Sleeping.
Okay, thanks for coming.
All right, bye. Good talk.
Yeah. So, now, how are you keeping busy?
Yes.
What else are you doing? You're living a normal, regular day, you know, regular
this
day
is,
life.
This is a bit of a, this is going to, not a struggle, but it's going to be difficult.
Because you completely have switched back to normal.
Yeah. I have a regular people job that starts at 6 a.m., so.
Do you have to go to it today?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's close to here, so.
Well, because you're.
I can just walk over.
You can walk over there because we're done at 5.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long day for you.
Though. It's a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Can you fall asleep at work?
No.
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 Can't just go off into a corner somewhere?
No, it's not. No, it's not like here where I had very long breaks.
No.
Where I worked 1 minute.
Yeah.
And then
you have long breaks. So you could go off
next,
and sleep if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
not
no,
so
not
much
there.
At your real person job.
Yeah, no, this is constant movement.
Okay, all right. How's V doing?
He's good.
Yeah?
He's doing well.
You guys been, you almost killed yourself right there. Have you guys been seeing any movies? Yeah, because I know
we saw Old Times, Scary Times at the El Royale.
Oh, you're one of the only people that's
bad times
at the El Royale.
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
It was okay.
And nobody went to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Bridges is in it, so of course I'm determined to mm-hmm. like it because he's my favorite actor.
I enjoyed it, but I thought it was a bit slow.
It's long. It's almost 2.5 hours long.
I thought, I was just like, their stories are going a little too much.
Yeah.
You could cut a little bit out.
You know who was hilarious in it?
Hmm.
John Hamm.
Yeah.
Not a shocker.
He's good. Yeah.
Because he's great, but I just really thought he was funny in that.
His face really did? I did hate him.
Chris Hemsworth. He's great in
I
it.
I did not like
no,
him.
No, 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 no. The thing that I liked about that movie was that, and Eric and I, when Eric and I reviewed it, we pulled the same thing from it. It's kind of like all of the bad things that happened in the 60s all converge into this one hotel.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he's like the Charles Manson kind of character
and
all that stuff. There's Vietnam stuff in it. And there's wiretapping and all kinds of that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, and I just thought, you know, I just thought Bridges was great. I thought Bridges, and I'm blanking on the singer's name. I can't remember.
I have no idea who.
Good. So good.
No idea what her name was.
And the two of them together, they were great.
No, it was, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges made me sad for him.
Yeah.
The whole memory. I was like, oh.
I know. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. I was, you know, Alec Baldwin now has a new talk show.
I think I know that, yes.
And it's like a one-on-one with Alec Baldwin. There's no studio audience or.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's set up like kind of like the old Bob Costas show where it's like just one-on-one, you know. And so he had Bridges on, and Bridges, and it was great. I mean, it was, you know, it was because he's just like so.
Because he's the dude.
He
isn't
is.
He
he's just so laid back. And, yeah. Oh yeah, man, that's cool, man. You know, and so they were talking about, you know, because inevitably when you interview Jeff Bridges, Lebowski comes up,
right?
Which is weird. To me, because because I love it. It's great. He's awesome in it. But when that movie came out, it tanked. Like when The Big Lebowski came out, people didn't like it. And
but that's what people think of him now.
They think he's the dude. And
there's
like
no other.
And everybody loves that movie now.
Yeah.
But I remember when it came out, I went with like four people, and they were all like, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah, I could see.
And
I
then,
could understand people not getting.
Yeah, no, and especially because that was the Coens. The Coens follow up to Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
So they had just won the Academy Award and all that stuff. And then here's this weird pot bowling movie, you know. But Bridges is like, yeah, man, it's just a great movie, man. I like working with the brothers.
I mean, you know? And now there's fests,
Lebowski
Fest,
yeah.
And all that stuff.
He plays at Lebowski Fest, his band. Jeff Bridges shows up and he's like, he's revered as a god. Like, he shows up and like, people,
but they do it in, don't they do it in different cities?
Yeah, all over the country.
He doesn't go to
No. He's gone. He and Buscemi and Goodman went together once, and he's gone a couple of times solo.
Oh,
but when he and Buscemi and Goodman showed up, the place was just like,
oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely insane. But yeah, it's interesting that that's the movie you saw, because no one saw Bad Times at
Yeah, why did we? Well, he's always wanting to watch movies.
Yeah.
And I can't.
Does he still put the laptop in front of your face while you're...
No. No, he no. Doesn't... That movie is still sitting out on our TV stand.
What was the movie that he wanted to watch?
Oh, man. The Daredevil movie with... not the one about the Evel Knievel spoof with the Lonely Island guys.
Oh, yeah. Andy Samberg.
What's it called?
Superstar? Superstar was the...
Right.
Mary Catherine Gallagher movie. I can't remember the name of it either.
Something about... He's like an Evel Knievel.
Right.
Dumb,
yeah,
dummy.
Yeah, Ian McShane plays his dad.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't done that yet. But he's always wanting to watch a movie, and I will inevitably fall asleep, especially now that I try to go to bed fairly early.
Right.
At least like 10 o'clock, 11, that's even late for when I have to get up.
Yeah.
So it'll be like 9:30. He's like, let's watch a movie. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to fall asleep.
Hot Rod.
Yes, there you go. Hot Rod.
So he wanted you to watch Hot Rod.
Yeah. He's like, I just put it on. And I was like, in front of me, though? Like, yeah. Right in front of my face. It was weird enticement.
Are you catching up on any TV or streaming or
anything?
We've
only watched Sabrina.
I hear it's weird.
I've been watching Sabrina. Yeah, it's weird, but now we're starting to get over it.
Are you?
She's a bit... It's this whole thing where she is, so it's from the Archie comics.
Yeah.
So she is half mortal, half witch. And in it, it's very dark.
That's what...
Compared to Dan
Feinberg reviewed it for us, and he talked about how weird and dark it is.
Yeah, she's a bit much,
because
she's a teenage girl. And at the point where we are, she's trying to fight the devil, and all these things keep... happening where they work in her favor.
Oh, okay.
Where normally it wouldn't. Like things, like they've there's a rule. Oh, she doesn't follow that rule. It's fine. It's like, really?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Are they hour-long episodes or are they half hour?
I think they're hour.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of stuff. I'm like, ugh, she's a teenage girl.
Well, she's Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right. So well, it's annoying.
It's as far removed. Is there a wacky talking cat?
No.
No wacky talking cat.
Which is annoying because I loved Salem and his wittiness.
And you have no Caroline Ray.
No, but there is a character, the little goofy, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Nice aunt. But yeah, it's no Caroline Ray.
This is really funny. I was hanging out with my future ex-wife. Danny DiLorenzo.
Mm-hmm.
We spent like an entire like day and night together. She was in town for a wedding. And we hung out like forever. And she was like, you know, we were hanging out in her room and she was listening to, I like bread and butter. He likes toast and jam. You know that song?
Yes.
Okay. And she's like,
where did the what?
Well, there's
just put
because
it on?
She had like a soul mix or something on her phone, on her Spotify or whatever the hell it was. So anyway, we're listening to it and she's like, you know, there was a show that was on in the 90s, like right around that time we're talking about. And she's like, and I used to watch it. It was like a TGIF show and it had this song as the opening credits. And I immediately was like, well, maybe Esmeralda would know this because you guys are the same age.
Yeah.
And so she's like trying to find it on her phone. And then she found it. And it was the TV show version of Look Who's Talking. You remember the Look Who's Talking movies?
They made a show?
It was called Baby Talk. And she found it, and we watched it on her phone. We watched the opening credits, and it had, she likes bread and butter, and it was part of TGIF in the 90s.
Oh, man.
And she remembered it. She just didn't remember what show it was.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. Tony Danza was in it?
Was he a baby?
No, he was like a plumber or something.
Okay.
But the object was that it was the same thing as, you know, because, you know, those Bruce Willis did the voice for for one of them, and Travolta was in it, and then the dog started talking and in the sequels and all that stuff. So they actually had a TV movie version of it or a TV version of
it. I mean, I could see that working.
Yeah. And I said, did you watch? I was asking Dana, I'm like, you actually watched this show? She goes, yeah, I did. I don't remember much of it. But it was in that lineup, that everybody, that classic lineup.
Yeah, I probably did watch it.
Baby Talk.
I was a big TGIF watcher.
Yeah. That's why as
nothing
soon as we started talking
on in my life.
As soon as we started talking about Sabrina, that brings you back to that sort of era.
Yes.
Right at that time. And Dana was telling me that, because we were talking about like scary movies and stuff, mm-hmm. obviously. And she said that I had her on the show for Halloween just to, you know, talk about mm-hmm. Scary stuff. And she said that she still has she was still terrified and scarred by an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Which one?
Where the kid is trapped inside like a pinball machine that's in a mall, and he's like trapped in the mall, and he can't get out, and so she has like a fear of malls now.
What?
Dana
right.
does, because the reason why the whole thing came up is because she did a convention mm-hmm. in Minnesota, and the convention ended around 9 p.m. and the only restaurant that was open in the area was in the Mall of America.
Oh no!
And she went into the Mall of America, and this was when everything is closed except that restaurant. So it's like this dark crate, and she said she started freaking out.
So now you have that bond.
And it's, yeah, and it's, exactly. And
that bond of malls.
Exactly. And I told my story about the Mall of America, and she freaked out about it. But that show scarred her. Now, do you have a favorite of that show?
You know what? They were all quite frightening.
Yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
For being a kid's show, it was scary. I remember one where he was this... Yeah, he was, I would say he was supposed to be in his 20s, I guess, but he was an innkeeper or something like that. And he was, someone moved into maybe the house where he owned something like that, but he was young and he stayed young because he kept sucking the souls out of people.
Wow.
And so the person would get very old. So the main,
this is a show that's aimed at kids, right?
Yes. Aimed at children. Oh, well, it wasn't teenagers.
Yeah.
I say teenagers because it was on SNICK.
Oh.
So SNICK, and it was the last show on SNICK
so
on the whole
late.
Lineup.
It was late.
Yeah, so it was technically late.
Okay.
Because after that, then it was Nick at Night.
Oh, okay. And then it went to the reruns of the old TV shows.
Then Dobie Gillis was on. But yeah, he was sucking the soul out of people. And when they would, when he would suck the soul out of them, they would get really old and...
See, that
decrepit.
seems scary to me now, and I'm in my 50s,
scary.
And that would freak me out.
It is a very frightening show.
Yeah.
It's like those books. Did you ever, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No.
Did you, Dan, is Dan here?
Yeah, Dan.
I can't turn my head.
What's the matter?
The whole way. No, because then I can't talk.
Oh, okay.
Microphone.
I thought something happened to your
I'm
neck.
A professional.
All right, okay.
Do you remember those Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
I do. And I did watch, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Do you remember that episode?
I do not remember that episode. I think I may have just washed them all from my memory because
they're scary. Just the intro was frightening.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a boat. It was just a boat it was at night, and it was just in the water, kind of going back and forth, you know, from the waves.
Uh-huh.
And then the eerie music.
I don't,
it was just a shot of this boat. It's frightening.
I'm much older than you guys in that regard. And so if I were to watch that, I would probably be like, what is this? I saw The Exorcist when I was 8.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think even if you were a teenager and watching this, you would have been fine.
Yeah, absolutely. By the time I was a teenager, I'd seen every kind of disgusting thing possible.
But have you seen those books, The Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No.
The artwork, they've changed it since, and it's not as frightening. But if you look at the ones from the 90s and... You know, before that, so scary. The
really?
Artwork,
just the artwork for the books,
is frightening. Wow. You can look it up. Look it up in the break.
I will.
It's
all right.
Scary.
Speaking of the break, that's what we have to do. Look at that, Esmeralda. Mm-hmm. Always a professional. Still, Esmeralda Leon is here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to celebrate Vic's birthday, Esmeralda.
Yay! That's
gonna be
what?
Awesome.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Skipley's on the way.
Oh, good.
The cats are forming, and
and
Bong Marine is moving along.
Oh, good.
So there you go. All right, we'll take a break and more with Esmeralda throughout the morning here. And all the Friday features are coming up. But so.
Yeah. And then imagine a boat in the water.
This is Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. It would just be scenes of things with in the dark. No one's there, but it's moving.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then it goes there's the stories, but then before that was the kids that would tell the stories, their secret midnight society. which is really stupid. It was, that was the most unscary part of the entire thing. Yeah, there's these teenagers telling stories.
Were they like around a campfire?
Yes. Yeah. And then they would throw some fairy dust or something into the fire to make
Dan shaking his head here.
It would make like a whoosh. And then, you know, they'd go into the story.
Wow. By the way, it's Nick DiGiulio. We're back. That's Esmeralda Leon, who's joining us this morning, staying until 5. Skip, Lee's on the way. We're going to have a For the Record, which means the cats will get to hear you sing again.
Oh, good.
They've been outside going, where the hell is she?
They're just wandering
here,
in a
they
circle.
Just come out. They're like, what's going on, man? We are in Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 o'clock. Friday features are coming up. Esmeralda, you're going to pick the bumps for the fly jams.
Oh, okay.
All right. Or we can go back to that. Dan, you still have the list of the first.
Like, I got to think about this.
The first day that she picked the songs?
Yeah, we could do it. Well, depending on what we might also have a special request and oh. The birthday boy.
Oh, for the birthday boy. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Vic Vaughn's birthday, everybody, tomorrow. And so we're going to celebrate that after the 4:30 news. He's going to come in here and we're going to hang out with him. By the way, I did look up, as you told me to do, the visuals for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah.
And they're terrifying.
They
I can't.
Are
I mean, they're really,
terrifying.
Really creepy. And these were kids' books, right?
Yes. Yeah.
These are really scary. The images are very, very creepy. I can see why you guys were traumatized by
we had that
and the TV show.
Yeah,
and
it's too much.
Yeah. So, and this all came about because we were talking about how you're watching the reboot of the Sabrina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of scary, by the way, I ended up loving the Suspiria remake.
I saw that. I was like, what is going on?
I was like, what? And but because it's completely different.
Oh, okay.
And you
so
know,
how is it? It's just the like kind of the basic story.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like girl goes to Germany to study at dance studio witches.
Okay.
That's essentially the plot of Suspiria, the original Suspiria, because
it's not a shot for shot.
No, not even close. And the score, which is so iconic, the Goblin score from the original movies. Thom Yorke did the score. For this, and it's really it's very Radiohead-ish,
right?
Shockingly.
So, do you not have a problem with them taking that story?
Here's the thing. The director said that he wanted to make a movie. That movie, the original Suspiria, meant so much to him. Like it was a movie that really he saw it as a teenager, and like me, like completely traumatized me, and he wanted to make a movie. His quote is that he wanted to make a movie that felt like he felt while watching Suspiria.
And so
he took the basic plot and he expanded it and made it political. There's all kinds of other stuff going on, and it's about female empowerment. It's an hour longer than the original Suspiria. It's two and a half hours long.
Is Suspiria, is that the one with the what's that stuff they put around
barbed wire? That's there happens
that
to be.
Is there like an equal?
No.
Disgusting.
Well, no. The last 15 minutes of of this version is just like, huh? Like it's bat crap crazy. I'm telling you.
Good.
And there's one scene about 40 minutes in, where Dakota Johnson's character first dances for Tilda Swinton, who runs the dance studio, and something is happening to another girl in a different dance studio at the same time that is triggered by Dakota Johnson's dancing.
Okay.
I mean, that scene is like, that's if you're still on board after that scene, then it's like, eh. So it's as far R-rated and gross and crazy as you can get.
Boy.
I thought it was great. And I went in, you know how I...
You were
And I hated the new Halloween movie. So it's like complete opposite. Complete opposite. I was actually looking forward to the Halloween movie and I was going to hate Suspiria. It was the opposite.
Mm.
So that's the scary stuff that's out there. I know you love it.
No.
I know. All right, we have to. You know why? Because you were traumatized by these damn things. That's what it is.
I don't like scary things.
Right. Okay. I think it's because when you were watching all this stuff and reading the scary stories with the books.
But then it's like, and now go to bed.
Now,
it's like, come on.
All right. Okay. All right. Hang on, okay? We got a break for the news here. Esmeralda Leon is here, and we'll be back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. And I'm looking out the window here on out of the Skyline Studios here, 18 stories up. The streets are a little wet. There's no snow yet.
Right. It looks like the streets have been sprayed down for a movie.
That's exactly what it looks like. Yeah. It looks like a scene from Thief.
Yeah.
That's
no one knows what that is. No.
People who listen to my show know what it is. That movie was shot in Chicago, Thief.
Oh.
And it has one of, you know, when I was a drinking man, it has one of the saddest moments in the history of film in it.
What was that?
They blow up the Green Mill.
Oh, no.
I know. Like, what?
Oh.
Yeah, because James Caan, who plays Thief, he owns the Green Mill in the movie.
How do they just blow up just that section?
They blow the whole front of the Green Mill gets exploded. Like, the whole thing blows out.
No, I was going to say, because it's got all those other...
Yeah, attached. It's just that one... It's just that
perfect little square.
Boom, but it explodes like crazy. The whole thing explodes. Oh. I mean, it's obviously, you know, done with special effects and stuff.
Yeah.
But this was a movie that was shot in 1980. So. But still, you know, I don't want to see the Green Mill blow up.
Right. It's
a lot of friends in there.
You're just like, no, Bob.
So, anyway. But yeah, the streets are a little bit wet out there, but no snow is coming down just
yet. Yeah, not yet.
We'll keep an eye on that.
At least in the city, no.
Esmeralda, you'll be doing traffic a little bit later when the snow starts coming down. Oh, okay.
It's all Vic.
Vic is going to have to handle that. All right. I mean, the weird thing is, like, I guess it's not supposed to turn into snow, you know, accumulating snow until Mary's shift starts. So that's going to be
good luck, Mary.
She's going to be very happy about that.
She's going to work today.
After it's one of those mornings. One of those mornings. It's Esmeralda Leon is here, and we were just playing catch up here. You were born in what, 83?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Dan, you were born in 81, right?
Yep.
I have world famous companies that started the year you were born.
Oh.
So let's start with you, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
83. What company? Oh. Oh. You ready?
Yes.
Did you want to guess?
No.
1983. What company started?
I couldn't. I can't even fathom.
Oh, let me just say this. I have an email address with this company. I should say I still...
AOL?
Yes, AOL was founded.
What was it even doing?
AOL traces its roots back to 1983 when entrepreneur William von Meister... William von Meister...
All right.
...founded Control Video Corporation, an online service for Atari. So that's how it started. In 1989, the firm changed its name to America Online and went on to pioneer the use of the internet in American homes during the 90s before it lost the bulk of its market share as a result of a switch from dial-up to broadband.
Right. Yeah, the second that you didn't need AOL to get into the internet.
Yeah.
They were done for.
You remember the discs that you would get? Like, it's 50 hours of free AOL.
I mean, that's how I kept getting free AOL. Using the discs.
Using those discs, yeah.
Yeah, I just kept getting, you know, free trial memberships.
Well, we can all thank William von Meister.
Thanks, Bill.
Mr. Von, Bill Veester. Bill von Veester Meister.
Oh. Because who did they sell it to?
I don't know.
Right? Because it didn't get sold?
It did. Oh, you know what? AOL was sold to...
Time Warner.
Yeah, so that dude's on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
Doing
William
nothing.
Von Meister. So, Control Video Corp.
I kind of miss the AOL front page because it used to have all those just like chat rooms and
weird they would pop up in the,
Well, just the groupings.
Yeah. Now if you go to AOL, because I have an email account with AOL, and I always check in, you go to the front page and it's like, basic news stories and all that.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's the generic search engine front page.
Yeah, I used to go to one. It was for entertainment movie stuff, and it was something Asylum. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that.
And they had chat rooms where they would hold game show thingies, trivia stuff, and I actually won a T-shirt from
them
that I still own today.
What T-shirt for what? Was it...
I think I answered a question right.
What is it, the T-shirt? Something.
It's just a T-shirt with their logo.
Oh, with the logo on it. Okay.
Whatever Asylum. Man, it might have just been Entertainment Asylum.
I remember the Asylum part.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was AOL Instant Messenger.
And then that
would pop up.
Yeah, that was on its own.
Yeah.
Because that's for me, at least in college, that's how we communicated.
Was through AOL Messenger?
Yes. You would just keep it up because we were living in the broadband.
Right.
T-1400 or whatever broadband at the time.
Yeah.
So we had, you would just keep it up and as you're away.
I would have it up during my show.
Yeah.
I would have it up like in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I would have it up because like Steve and Johnny had an AOL account. Eric Childress, who still has an AOL email address.
Yeah.
They could communicate with me, you know.
I'm kind of sad that the AOL AIM is gone.
AIM. That's right. AIM. That's right. Dan, did you have experiences with Mr. Von Meister's company?
His fine company, yes. Many a college flirtation happened over AIM.
How many of your away messages were song lyrics?
Oh, a lot of them were. A lot of song lyrics.
It was so stupid. You always put like a big, like, just song lyrics. It didn't even make sense for an away message.
Did you have a MySpace page?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, what were your songs? Did you have songs on there?
I did. I had a cover of Wicked Games by somebody. Yeah. I don't know who.
That was like, so when you went to Esmeralda's MySpace page, you would hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have the pictures. And who were your top friends? Did you rank?
I did. I couldn't tell you. I think it was just people that I knew.
Yeah.
I had a friend who she got into it. She learned how to code because you could really zhuzh up your MySpace if you knew how.
Yeah.
I just went basic.
I had
whatever they offered.
I put some stuff up. My ex Heather was into it and mm-hmm. was good at like designing the pages and stuff. And so I did a full on, like, for a little while, I just did a full on Magnolia.
Would frogs fall from
frogs would rain down. It would be Wise Up would play when you would
mm-hmm. Oh boy.
And the picture wasn't a picture of me, it was a picture of Claudia, the main character, and people would go, come on man, it's just Wise Up, I gotta hear this while I'm visiting your page. I gotta be depressed now.
So MySpace was weird.
You know, it was, and I mean obviously it led to
Facebook
and all that stuff, but I you know what's really kind of makes me sad is that the late great George Romero, the inventor of the fantastic zombie genre, one of his best movies is a movie called Diary of the Dead, and it was made in 2000, it was shot in 2007 and was released in early 2008. So it's a movie, it's a great movie, it was way ahead of its time. In a movie that was made over 10 years ago, and what it says about social media and the use of it, way ahead of its time. I mean, it's what's happening now was predicted in that movie, in a lot of ways. The thing is, so it's about these you know it's a reboot of the zombie apocalypse. It's not a sequel. It's the first night of the zombie apocalypse, like the 1968 movie.
Yeah.
So he rebooted the whole thing. And they were. It's an amateur college filmmaking. People from college are making a film, a horror movie, and they're editing it on laptops. They're putting it all together, and the zombie apocalypse happens. And the main character, the guy who's directing the movie, decides that he wants to document everything that's happening. He's going to make a documentary and call it. It was called Document of the Dead, and he was going to do that. And He in the movie, it has all this, social media stuff and news and everything that it's permeating the world right now. But unfortunately, the main character in the movie, as you watch it, is using MySpace.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Like, you watch it now and you're like, George, you were so on the money, except for the MySpace thing. Because it's like he had to stop and he's editing things on his MySpace page and posting them and looking at how many hits he's getting and stuff. And it's just every time the MySpace logo pops up, you're like, oh, man, George.
Did you even have – was there even a way to see that stuff other than going to this person's page?
I don't remember.
Like, I don't think there was like a timeline like thing.
No, there wasn't. I think you had to go to the person's page, but
wow, that says a lot.
Yeah.
Cause that means like, oh, I want to know exactly what is happening with this person.
Right. Well, and also in the movie, it made sense because everybody wanted to know what was happening with the zombie thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was posting stuff as it happened.
Yeah.
So people were going to his page and he was getting like hit after hit.
So many MySpace hits.
But the movie, again, it really, really works. But the moment they cut to a MySpace thing, it takes you right out. I'm like, oh man, George.
I mean, MySpace is still around.
It is, but
it's useless.
I mean, George Romero got it. He got it all right. He predicted everything except for the MySpace part. That's the rest of it is perfect. So, all right, Dan, you were born in 81, right?
Yes.
Okay. And here is your company that got started. Bloomberg. The leading financial software, data, and media company was founded in 1981 in New York by Michael Bloomberg. who used the cash he'd garnered from the sale of the Solomon Brothers to fund the business. A resounding success, the firm now has 192 offices worldwide, turning over billions of dollars a year. Bloomberg.
Wait.
And I also support a pop tax.
Yeah, that
is
works.
Is this just the news people? Bloomberg? No?
Yeah, he went on the channel.
Right.
Potential presidential candidate.
Yeah, potential presidential candidate this week. Oh!
Who is he dating?
I don't know.
Is he dating... she's the lady who cooks things, Sandra.
Oh, God, her?
I think so.
Oh, God.
One of them does. One of the governors. He was a governor.
Is dating her? What the hell was her? She's the worst.
Half homemade.
She's the worst.
I want to say that was her.
You got Deanna Taylor.
Oh. It was somebody.
What the hell is her last name? Sarah.
Sandra. Isn't it
Sandra. It's Sandra. Sandra something.
What's the name of the show?
Half homemade. Homemade.
Oh, God. She's just
semi-homemade cooking.
Semi-homemade.
With Sandra Lee.
Sandra Lee.
She's dating slash married to some political New York.
Well, he's getting the worst meals of his life. That's all I can
tell you. He's getting
that Kwanzaa cake. Oh, my God. Was she without question, Esmeralda.
Yeah, some of that stuff was real sad.
The worst host in the history of the Food Network. And I'm including Rachel Ray, who I hate.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. She is married to Andrew Cuomo.
There it is.
Oh, okay.
And he eats out a lot. That's all I'm saying. They get a lot of take in. They get a take out. All right. Well, we're going to break. When we come back, we'll find out what company was founded in the year I was born.
Oh.
Ancient times.
Oh, so the wheel company?
The fire.
I don't know. Fire Inc.?
Exactly. All right, let's take a break. It's Nick DiGilio here. If you just want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. If you just want to say hello to Esmeralda, she's here for the rest of the show. 312-981-7200, and Skip Skipley is on the way for more. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're back. And after the 3 o'clock news, we will be having a visit from the one and only Skip Skipley. Because Esmeralda Leon is here. And we're going to play a little For the Record. And we're going to get to hear Esmeralda sing. And the cats have already gathered outside. They're ready to go. They're wading through the sleet right now just because they want to hear you. The cats are out there in the sleet.
Aw, they sound like they're waiting for a concert.
They are.
Aww.
They've got lighters and everything.
Oh, they have little tents?
They have little tents.
Come on. They're wearing little coats, puffy jackets.
By the way, how's Smokey doing?
She's good.
Yeah?
She, actually, it's funny. Today I saw her. We were cleaning because we're having a friend from California come visit. And we have her.
Is it John Tesh?
Yes, yes. I didn't want to say anything. Tash is going to be sleeping on my couch.
By the way, I got to say this. Hold on, Esmeralda. You know how this works. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, you have a friend coming in.
Yeah, so we have her carrier just sitting out, and it's by the heaters, and we found her today just in the carrier lounging in her own sauna. Essentially,
yeah.
Because it's right by the heater, so it's
cats love that
straight away.
Cats love that stuff.
It was too cute though. Yeah. She's just in there like.
You know, it's funny. We had when I was living with Heather and we had Coconut Head, the Nut, as I called him. The carrier was something that he hated because it meant I'm going to the vet,
right?
And
that's what
a lot of cats associate that they hate the carrier.
Yeah, she never gets in it, so we were amazed.
See, that's what you know. The Nut was a big, fat, lazy cat,
mm-hmm.
And so
same.
We had the carrier, and I guess we brought him to the vet or something, and we left the carrier out in the cage, and then suddenly he was like, "Oh, it's a good place.
This isn't bad."
Yeah, and then he just would hang out in there all the time. It was like he completely changed his mind from "this thing is terrifying" to I can be fat and lazy here.
Yeah, I think it's once you shut the door and then start carrying it around.
Right, that's when they start freaking out. But the cat's okay.
Yeah, she's good.
All right, very cool. All right. We're going to find out what company. What company was founded? I was born in 1965.
A.D.? BC?
I think so.
Or AD? Nah, that wasn't the joke. No. Ruined
it. I like this one. This is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolby Laboratories opened up.
Oh, like the speakers?
Dolby Sound, yeah.
Oh.
The company that revolutionized cinema sound and consumer audio devices was founded in London in May of 1965 by American engineer Ray Dolby. The firm decamped to the United States and set up a camp in San Francisco in 1967 and began selling its audio technologies to the movie industry. As of January 2017, Dolby Laboratories has an annual turnover of $1.3 billion.
Goodness. Very appropriate for you.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's oddly appropriate. What year was Vic born? It's his birthday. Do we know what year? Vic, can you jump to the mic real quick and we'll find out what year you were born? Because we're going to celebrate his birthday.
He's working.
I know he's working. He's working all the time. He's a hardworking gentleman. I just don't know. I can't remember.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
I think sometime in the 70s.
Yeah.
Would be my guess, yeah. So.
No idea.
Okay. Well, we'll find out because we're going to celebrate.
Out for a second.
Okay. All right. You know. Okay, let's just. Oh, there he is. Vic, real quick. What year were you born, Vic?
I like how he's looking around like he has no clue what is happening. There's a microphone there, Vic.
What's up?
What year were you born?
71.
71. Would you like to know what company opened started in 71? I had Dolby Sound. Esmeralda, you had AOL.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Dan had Bloomberg.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Well, 71.
71. Mm. This is really surprising to me.
You know what was booming in 71?
What?
The cigarette business.
Well...
All right.
Yeah, it was. But no, you're going to, are you ready?
Yeah.
1971, Starbucks.
Whoa.
Really?
Was founded in 1971. Starbucks coffee houses are ubiquitous these days, but the firm had very humble beginnings. The first Starbucks was opened by University of San Francisco grads Jerry Baldwin, Gordon Bowker, and Zev Ziegel.
Do you see the connection here? I was growing up right outside San Francisco at that time.
Well, it opened in Seattle.
I thought you just said the
They're University of San Francisco grads.
Well, I knew they opened in Seattle, but they're from San Francisco.
Right, they're from San Francisco.
I'm reaching here, but come on, work with me.
And in Seattle, it opened up in 71, and it just sold coffee beans. That's it, just coffee beans. You fast forward to 2017, Starbucks has 24,464 outlets worldwide, generating an annual turnover of $21.3 billion.
Sorry, it didn't work out, Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. $21.3 billion, that's about 5 cups of coffee, right?
Yes. Yep. No,
I'm actually going to get a loan after work to go and get a cup of coffee.
Because that's what you have to do
right.
In order to afford. Well, there you go. You had Starbucks. I had Dolby. Esmeralda had AOL, and Dan, you had Bloomberg. That's fun.
They're all really good companies. Is AOL still around? They're not around.
Yeah. Yeah, I still have an email address for AOL.
I don't know what they do now.
I do.
Wow.
I still have an AOL.
Like, how do they make money?
Yeah,
from
I don't know
them?
What they.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, they're, you know, essentially, a lot, some people use it as a search engine.
Ugh.
I don't know.
I do that if I can't find it on Bing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm using Ask Jeeves.
Oh, I love Ask. No, it's just Ask now, right? They got rid of the Jeeves.
Now.
Okay, you got to write some news because your news is supposed to be coming up in just a couple of minutes anyway.
They changed it
ask.
To just, well, that's dumb.
Yeah, no more Jeeves. It is no
See,
more
the,
Butler.
That was the best part.
I know.
The only reason I'd go there.
What was the line that Jerry Seinfeld had where it's like, you know, if you name your kid Jeeves, I believe you've pretty much said you pretty much know what he's going to do for a living. So, all right, hang on. All right, we're mm-hmm. going to break, and we got the news coming up, and then we'll have Skip Skipley here, and we'll play a little For the Record and much more fun stuff here. Esmeralda is here. If you want to text or call us and say hi to her, it's 312-981-7200. The news will be next. Yeah, man. Welcome back. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. I'm here every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It's Friday, so that means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show spies. You big dummy. all coming up. And after the 4:30 news, we're going to celebrate Vic Vaughn's birthday. Yes. Yes. Vic Vaughn's birthday. Vic Vaughn was born the same year as Starbucks.
So. That sounds so weird.
So, welcome back, everybody. Esmeralda Leon is here with us, and it's great to have you here, Esmeralda.
Oh, thank you.
Can you come back all of next week?
Sure.
Okay, good. We're not going to pay you.
I just won't sleep. It's so, fine. It's okay.
So Esmeralda's here, which means that we're going to have a little game of For the Record. Now, for those of you who be regular listeners to the show, you know, we used to do pop-up video, but we ran out of all the playing cards for pop-up video because we played it so often. And now we're going to play For the Record. For the Record is also a 80s and 90s themed music trivia game. Mm-hmm. And we also get to hear Esmeralda sing.
Mm.
So that will be coming up in just a couple of minutes, actually. We're gonna do that.
I was going to bring in some text and the printer didn't work. So I will just say, 773, good to have you back, Esmeralda. You complete the show.
Oh.
301, so great to hear Esmeralda on the show. Mark the Breadman, big hello to Esmeralda. Jay, hello, Esmeralda, the Heart Melda.
The Heart Melda.
Oh, yeah.
You become the Heart Melda in a little over an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. All right. Oh, yeah, and you get to vote on the dummy.
Great.
Because we've been having a caller call in now.
Yeah, I was going to say, who would...
The third vote. We have our
first
caller.
Up?
Yeah, so, but now you get to vote on the dummy.
All right.
And we've had some good dummies.
Yeah.
These past couple of weeks. Been pretty strong. And by the way, Dan, I saw a couple of dummy stories this week. I didn't send them. But I think there was one in particular that was really dumb.
All right, well, we'll see.
And we'll see if it's
in this week.
See if it popped up. Yeah. If not, I'll send it to you at some point. But this dumb. So dumb.
It's a big dummy.
Big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did? All right. Hey, Esmeralda, look, can you understand and even comprehend what's happening? And
not
if
sure,
you
can not, I?
Look, it's Skip Skipley.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hi, Skip.
Oh, Nick, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Skip.
I see Esmeralda all the time. She hangs out on the boat.
Yeah.
Are you hanging out on the Bong Marine?
I got time.
Oh, okay. Oh, listen to this, by the way. Skip, you already know this because you listen to the show all the time.
All the time, nonstop.
So 2 weeks ago, I got sick on the weekend, and I had to cancel my movie with my parents.
Oh.
Every Saturday, you know, we go to a movie, and tomorrow we're going to go see The Grinch and the girl who has the tattoo and is in the spider web.
Oh, okay. yeah.
So the week that I got sick was the submarine movie with Gerard Butler. So I missed a submarine movie.
Oh, no.
Hunter Killer. I didn't see it. And it's a submarine movie.
I don't think anyone did.
No, nobody did. Nobody did. Colin did.
Yeah.
And reviewed it and didn't think it was very good.
Hey, by the way, are you going to go see, apparently it's in select theaters. And I only know it because I enjoy, and I can't remember his name right now. It's.
I'm glad you enjoy this guy that you don't know.
George Lopez is in it. Oh my gosh.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
No. Man, what's his name?
Yeah. What's he do?
Bald guy. He was in Rent.
What? Tay Diggs?
Yes. It's like, it's in select theaters.
What
in
is it?
Barrington.
What is it?
I don't know. It's like some cop movie. But George Lopez is in it. Yeah, I only
You're
know because
me
I
if
follow
I'm gonna go
Tay
see
Diggs.
A Tay Diggs.
You're the movie man.
Tay Diggs, George Lopez movie?
Yeah.
Rivers Run Red. Tay Diggs wants revenge against corrupt cops. Yeah. Also starring John Cusack.
Oh, there's a Hemsworth in there, too.
There's a Cusack is in it?
And it's only playing in Barrington.
Well, I guarantee you that it's already... No, I guarantee you it's on video on demand. I guarantee you, because that's where Cusack's career is right now. Cusack is in the straight-to-video on demand
I'll
movies.
Have to listen if you watch it or if you see it. I don't know when it comes out.
River Runs Through It? What the hell is it called? River in the Village?
No, that stars Bart the Bear, man.
Bart the Bear, that's right. Talking about Bart the Bear yesterday.
Oh.
River Runs Red.
Okay, River Runs
With
Red.
With blood. Or Kool-Aid, one or the other.
Thank you for looking that up, Skip.
No problem.
He just knew. He loves Tay Diggs.
He follows Tay Diggs.
Wow, look at this. When the son of a successful judge, Tay Diggs, is killed by two police officers, Luke Hemsworth and Gianna Cabaldi, and the system sets us free, A hardened veteran detective, John Cusack, finds some incriminating files on the officers, and the judge teams up with another Morning Father, George Lopez, to take the law into their own hands.
Oh, wow. Taye Diggs and George Lopez are going to go on for revenge?
No, I believe Taye
Diggs. No, Taye Diggs shot them, killed them.
Oh, they're going after
Taye Diggs.
Taye Diggs was the man who was shot.
Oh, Taye Diggs gets killed then.
Yes, so they're avenging Taye Diggs against Thor's brother.
Well, that's...
Thor's brother.
I like how they tell you... What is probably like the...
Taye Diggs is dead within the first 10 minutes of the movie, so there you go. But then you get to see John Cusack.
Sure.
Here's what I've noticed about John Cusack in all of these movies that he's making now that are kind of going straight to video. Mm. If you look at like clips from them or trailers from them, mm-hmm. he's always wearing a hat now.
Yeah, because it's probably not looking good up there. Or bandanas.
Always like wearing a hat. Well, he used to wear bandanas all the time.
Yeah, but it looks real stupid.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
It does
not look good.
Skip Skipley is here, everybody, and For the Record is a music trivia game. And I gotta get the thing.
What? Oh,
I gotta keep score.
Okay.
I forgot how to play this game already. I don't even know what's going on.
Come on, be professional.
All right,
like
I'm being
Skip.
Professional like Skip. All right. So Esmeralda and I will go head to head in answering trivia questions, and then whoever has the most points at the end will win $40 billion.
Oh, good.
And get to ride in a boat. With the zombie Ernest Hemingway.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the cats.
Goodness.
And the cats. Oh, yeah. And by the way, he wrestled bears, Ernest Hemingway. So it's all.
People don't think the show is scripted.
Can you? I would like. I'm hoping on the boat trip.
Yeah.
We happen upon a bear that could then wrestle zombie Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah. We can get Bart the Bear the first one. He's dead, so he could be zombie Bart the Bear.
That'll even it out because I'm assuming just body parts will go flying quite easily.
I don't know, man. We'll see. You don't know how tough Ernest Hemingway's zombie is.
I would think that rotting
is
just
part. I don't know. All right, are we ready?
We are.
All right.
Category is the 80s, Nick.
Yeah.
This family group had a hit in 1985 with Rhythm of the Night. Who were they? DeBarge, the Jacksons, Sister Sledge, or the Osmonds?
That would be DeBarge.
That is correct.
Was Rhythm of the Night, was that in...
Rhythm of the Night, is that it?
Yeah. Give it into the rhythm of the night. Well, clearly we know the song, but not the lyrics. Okay.
Esmeralda, the category is the 90s, and it is your question, but it will be Nick's song.
Oh!
Please provide us a line or two from Found Out About You.
Well, found out about you, whipping in the spotlight. Found out about, I don't know the words. Found out about, I want to be, blah, blah. I found out about you. Found out about you. Found out about you. I don't know all the lyrics to that one.
I like that you ended it, like you, what's it called?
You did the natural fade.
Yeah, yeah, you faded yourself out there.
If it would have been Hey Jealousy, I would have done much better.
Mm. There you go. Well, Esmeralda, what was the name of the band who made that?
That's good because I did not know. Thank you for that clue.
Yep.
Is it the Gin Blossoms?
That is correct.
So I was like, I don't know who that is.
What did they have for choices?
Oh, wait, they have choices.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. R.E.M., the Wallflowers, or the Rembrandts?
Rembrandts.
I could have figured it out.
Yeah, you would have got it.
Yeah,
definitely. Gin Blossoms, man, such a great record. Such a sad story. So sad. The guy who wrote all the songs on that album, the lead singer, was a really troubled guy and a massive alcoholic, and they had to kick him out of the band.
Oh no!
And then
and keep his songs.
Yeah, and they released the album. He died.
Oh no!
And then they released the album, and it became like this. He killed himself, and I mean, you know, so all of his music, and he's the singer on that album.
Yeah,
all of his music becomes like huge, and people are really moved by it, and they love it. It's a great record. New Miserable Experience is a great record, and then the guy passed away. It's such a sad story. And then they continued. They got a new lead singer. They continued, but it wasn't nearly as good as that record.
Right.
So anyway, I'm glad I brought everybody down.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Real name. Yeah, and real names is the category. What is the 80s hitmaker Jelly Bean's birth name? Is it Corbin Nelson, Benjamin Larson, John Benitez, or Sugar Daddy? What is Jelly Bean's real name?
Oh.
I'm going to say John Benitez.
You are correct.
You know why? I know that because he dated Madonna.
Oh, all right.
Right at the beginning of her career.
Is it jelly beans with an S or a Z?
It's singular.
Jelly bean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I only know that because it was like Madonna dated him and they referred to him as Jelly Bean Benitez.
Ah. Coincidentally, Benitez with a Z at the end.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Should we do one more before we break?
Yes.
Okay.
Esmeralda, categories, you're on stage. Natalie Imbruglia took home the 1998 Billboard Award for Adult Top 40 Track of the Year for what song? Was it Say You'll Be There, Torn, You Were Meant for Me, or How Do I Live?
Torn.
I already, you know, when as soon as he said Natalie Imbruglia, I wrote down Mark. I marked your, I gave you a point because I knew you would. I knew.
Do I get to sing that one?
No, we get a different one.
You got a different one. Specially chosen for birthday boy Vic Vaughn.
Oh, it's specially chosen for birthday boy Vic Vaughn.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back, and we'll have more of For the Record. Skip Skipley just left. He retired, but he'll come back, I hope. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Yes.
Mm.
That's where we are. In the Skyline Studios here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, where the streets are just glistening. No snow, but just a little wet. So be careful.
Very
out there.
Shiny.
Shiny, shiny. And, Esmeralda, look who came back from the thing.
Oh, good.
Hey, guys.
Skip Skipley. Hi, Skip.
Good to be back.
Oh, yeah.
He's not scared of the threat of snow.
Never. Well, he's in the Bong Marine.
Right.
So.
Or frozen water.
Yeah. doesn't faze him.
A couple more texts here, 905. So great to hear Esmeralda again. 312. So good to hear the three of you together. Can't wait for Skip Skipley to get things going.
Ah.
Oh.
I hear all the cats in my neighborhood bracing themselves.
Oh, there you go. They're all ready.
870, the Taye Diggs movie sounds like a remake of Let's Get Hairy.
Let's Get Hairy. Wow, there's a deep cut.
224, we love as in Nick.
Oh, all right. Now, let's recap the score here. We're playing a little For the Record. It's 3-2. I'm in the lead, but it's only because I sang.
Okay.
You know how that works. It's 3-2,
mm-hmm.
but it's only because I sang.
Mm-hmm.
So, whose question is this one?
This would be yours. Category is one hit wonder.
Uh-oh.
What was Perfect Gentleman's lone hit that charted in 1990? Kiss and Tell, Ooh La La, parentheses, I Can't Get Over You, Tell Me Something, or May I Open the Door?
I have no idea who that is.
Never heard of them
either. Never heard of this. I'm gonna say Ooh La La.
You are correct.
That sounded familiar. But I couldn't tell. Yeah, I couldn't tell you who that is. The song.
That's a Faces. It's a Faces song.
Oh.
It was on the soundtrack.
And to, The Perfect Gentleman.
And the soundtrack to Rushmore. It was used in Rushmore. That's weird. I don't know. I have no idea who The Perfect Gentleman. I have no idea what that is. Okay. I got it right, though. I don't know what the hell. All right.
Categories Mosh Pit Esmeralda.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
How many performance stages were at Woodstock 99? 7. 3. 1 or 14? Seven.
One?
Incorrect.
Man.
Three.
Okay. Woodstock 99.
Yeah, I was trying to think how many cameras.
Yeah, I don't know.
Were there on? Because I watched.
You watched Woodstock 99?
I watched 99
or 94.
Oh, no.
94. You watched 94.
Yeah, I watched 94.
Yeah. I think there was only one stage in 94. If I'm not mistaken.
That's why I answered that way.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. What happened now?
Categories of the 80s. Questions for Esmeralda.
Oh, Esmeralda! Mm.
What was rapper LL Cool J's first top 40 hit? Was it I Need Love, Around the Way Girl, Mama Said Knock You Out, or Wild Thing?
Wait, why is this one for me?
Because
it's a new card.
We
switched. Yeah.
Wait, what's the question?
What was rapper LL Cool J's first top 40 hit?
Okay.
I Need Love, Around the Way Girl, Mama Said Knock You Out, or Wild Thing?
Hmm. I'm going to go with Mama Said Knock You Out.
That is incorrect. I Need Love.
I knew that was this one, but I didn't think. I was like, well, maybe he didn't get like big success until Mama Said Knock.
Well, I mean, that was, he had hits before that, but that was like his fifth at that point, fifth single.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because that came out in 90. So, And he'd hit like in the late 80s, like 87, I think, was his first thing.
Dang.
All right. 4-2 me.
Category is the 90s. The question is Nick's, but the song will be Esmeralda.
Here the cats are ready.
And we dedicate it to our birthday boy because I know it's one of his favorites. Oh, Priebus, provide us a line or two from Too Legit to Quit.
Oddly enough, I only know the chord. I can do the hand signals.
Yeah, do that, yeah.
Yeah. Too legit to quit. Hey! Too legit. Doon, 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 doon. Too legit to quit. Too legit to quit. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I couldn't.
I don't know any other lyrics than that to that song.
And then the hey, hey, that's all I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. That's.
We'll count it.
Fine, you got it.
I got the finger thing down.
You did. Yeah, the cats enjoyed that. The cats were doing that with their paws.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Question is, who had the 1992 high energy hits Adam's Groove and Too Legit to Quit? Was it
seriously?
Was it Mr. Big?
Mr. Big?
Ryan Tracy, Puff Daddy, or Hammer?
Mr. Big?
He just wants to be with you.
Oh, my God. All right. It's obviously Hammer.
That is correct.
I like that they don't do the MC.
Correct, just Hammer.
Well, at that point, he was Hammer.
Because he's tough.
He dropped the MC and just became Hammer.
With Adam's Groove.
That's right, that's tough. Because he's legit. He's too legit. All right.
All right, next question. Esmeralda, category's real name. What was rapper Heavy D's birth name?
It's the second time Heavy D has been brought up on the show.
Wow.
Was it David Morris, Dwight Myers, Darren Stevens, or Donny Osmond?
Oh, wouldn't that be quite a thing? What was the first one?
David Morris, Dwight Myers, Darren Stevens, or Donny Osmond?
David Morris.
Incorrect. Dwight Myers.
Darren Stevens?
Darren Stevens.
The husband on Bewitched?
Can you imagine, though, if he was Donny Osmond?
Oh, if his real name was indeed Darren Stevens, you know, from Bewitched, that would be pretty great. We have to break.
We do.
All right, we have to break here. We got the news coming up, and then we'll wrap up the. Boy, look at this. This is the first time Skip Skipley has retired twice in one session. Yeah. All right.
So many watches.
News is next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. And Esmeralda Leon is here, everybody. Yay!
Hi! The two people who are here.
By the way, you know, that now during my show, they show at least two episodes of Friends. Channel 9, so I've been like
the sheep
looking at the screen every once in a while,
and you're reminiscing.
The other night I was watching Dan, what was it? Who was it? Van Damme? Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh.
Was
yes,
on?
Yes.
And it was it was like seven different cameos.
Because they got more, you know, the more famous they got. They were able to get all their friends to show up.
Sean Penn was on.
Are you mixing up? Sean Penn.
Sean Penn was he was on Friends too. But he was also on Two and a Half Men.
Right.
Here's something insane.
Come on,
because Two and a Half Men is on too.
Yeah.
That show. Listen to this. An episode of Two and a Half Men was on the other morning here, and I was looking at the screen and I almost fell off my chair.
Why?
Because it was Elvis Costello. Elvis Costello, Sean Penn, and Harry Dean Stanton.
Why were they there?
Well, because Sean Penn grew up with Charlie Sheen, and they were friends. So he brings Harry Dean Stanton and Elvis Costello onto Two and a Half Men?
Come on, Elvis Costello.
I was like, what the? And Harry Dean Stanton, like the coolest man that ever lived? And they're just then sitting around. And what I saw was they were just sitting around in the apartment smoking cigars and drinking. Like, where does that come from? So, hey, welcome back. And it's Skip Skipley is back.
Hey, guys.
He retired 43 times in 15 minutes.
Is that a record?
I think so.
Guinness record. Yeah. Sorry, Vic.
Sorry, Vic.
We can gift him a
Guinness
record.
So we're still doing the For the Record here. This is a lovely little trivia game that we play whenever Esmeralda comes by. I am leading 5-3. And I don't know whose question it is because I've lost track of what happened in the world.
It would be yours.
Mine?
Yes.
Oh!
The last question is about Heavy D, his real name.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Darren Stevens from Bewitched.
Right.
What's Andorra doing here? Okay, that's my Darren Stevens. That's
it was
my,
really good.
That was my Dick Sargent. Not that's Dick your... York. That was my Dick Sargent.
Categories, you're on stage, Nick.
All right.
Who created the Soul Train Awards? Dick Clark? Sinbad? Lloyd Thaxton? Or Don Cornelius?
I would... Sinbad. It would be Don Cornelius.
Yes, unfortunately.
Sinbad,
by the way, is on this show, Rel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, and Dana... My future ex-wife, mm-hmm. Dana DiLorenzo, was recently on Rel.
Is that any good?
It's awful. Show? I only watched the episode with her on it.
Oh, well, that's sad.
And so she was only in the first, 4 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, a Pretty Woman parody, and she was the Richard Gere. It was it's very bad. And so, anyway. She said that, I was like, well, you did, I said, you did Rel. Did you at least get to meet Sinbad? She said, yes! He's the coolest, and started telling all these great stories about how cool and funny Sinbad is.
Sinbad.
I love Sinbad. All right. What's next?
Next category is One Hit Wonder. Esmeralda, it's for you. Mm-hmm. In 1986, what group had a number 16 hit with The Captain of Her Heart? Was it Perfect Gentlemen? Dublé, Commander Cody, or Danny Wilson? In late 1986, what group had a number 16 hit with The Captain of Her Heart?
It can't be. Oh, it's 16, so that's not a one hit. Well, I was going to say Perfect Gentleman, but he can't. He's already, in the last question, I think it said that it was a one hit wonder.
Yeah.
So he cannot have another hit.
Bravo. Look at you with the deduction.
I'm deducing.
Wow.
It's
so you're like that great spy,
C.
Sherlock.
I don't know.
Your other options are Dublé, Commander Cody, or Danny Wilson.
Danny Wilson?
Incorrect. Dublé.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, it's the person who did that song.
Good answer.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that either.
Hmm.
Captain Cody's from the 60s. So, all right.
Final question.
No! Esmeralda, I'm going to win. Me and Ernest Hemingway zombie and Bart.
I hope that zombie bear eats you.
Bart the bear zombie. All right. So it's 6-3. If I get this, it'll be 7-3.
Category is mosh pit.
Oh, no.
So the question is, The Cure are known as the godfathers of what kind of rock? Alternative, heavy metal, goth, or country?
Well... I mean, technically, it could be could think it could fit two of those categories.
Oh boy!
But I'm going with goth.
You are correct.
Yeah, but it's mm-hmm. also alternative.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
We used to call my one of my friends used to call Robert Smith Fat Rob.
Oh,
just call him Fat Rob because I dated a girl who loved The Cure.
Yeah,
loved The Cure mm-hmm. and loved Robert Smith. And my friend purposely, when she was around, would go, "Hey, look who's on TV! It's Fat Rob."
He has not aged well.
No,
and then he still wears the makeup.
I know he does,
and it does not look good.
And he's got the hair too.
Yeah, but it's thinning.
Yeah, I like The Cure though.
No, I enjoy them. He needs to realize his limitations.
I ended up. Man's got to know his limitations. That's a Clint Eastwood line right there. well, Skip, thank you, Skiplies.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. I'll see you guys out front when I'm riding the bear's back on the way to the boat to get Ernest Hemingway.
I hope they both feast on you.
They will.